It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. I want to be very careful today. I feel like I'm going to be walking a tightrope. More than usual, anyways. Because as I said this morning, money is probably the most challenging thing that we can talk about in church life and conversations about God, life, faith, spirituality. It's enormously challenging. In my time as being a pastor and a minister, I've gotten feedback from folks who's like, we don't like it when you preach on money, or maybe when we send out an email or a letter inviting people to give. Some people have a certain reaction to those kind of communiques. It's complicated. We don't like talking about money. And I think that often, not only in the culture at large, but even in the Christian church, we conceptualize, we believe that we can have an honest faith, an honest walk with Jesus, and have this faith and spirituality as being part of our life, but money being a separate discussion altogether. We believe essentially that we can have an honest faith in God and Jesus Christ, and yet have parts of our lives that we cordon off, that we say to God essentially, yeah, you can do what you want with all these other parts of my life, but don't touch this. But essentially what we've been exploring and learning this past season together, especially during the summer series, is that that is not possible in a faith, an honest faith, and an honest spirituality that is genuinely seeking to connect with God. There is no cordoning off parts of our lives. All parts are meant to be open. Therefore, we have to talk about money, at the very least because Jesus talks about it. In fact, Jesus says some very specific things about money. And it's important for us to understand what he's saying. That's what we have today's passage about Jesus talking with this rich young ruler. And we just recap it. What happens? A rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says to him, well, Jesus, I'm a good guy. Everything that God has asked for me to do, I've done it. What is that last thing that I need to do to gain eternal life? And Jesus says to him, all right, take all the stuff that you have, everything, all your riches, all your wealth, sell it off, give it to the poor, and then follow me. Which those are very piercing words. Now here, this is the part where I think we might miss something. It's tempting to look at this story and say, oh, Jesus, he's giving it to those rich people. He's really getting at them, those rich. And we think of ourselves, well, I don't know, middle class, whatever. This is not for us. Maybe it's for the rich guys. And we want to cheer with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus, get those rich guys. But then you notice what Jesus actually said. He said, he didn't say to the rich young ruler, sell everything you have, all your investments, all your riches, and make sure you land at lower middle class status and then just stop there and you're good. He doesn't say that. He says, get rid of everything. That, my friends, means that he's talking to all of us. You have a handful of cash. What Jesus is saying is landing right now. Now it's complicated. Now we're all indicted a little bit. And now we're wondering, wait a minute. So is Jesus actually saying that to enter the kingdom of heaven, in other words, to be with God, to be with Jesus in heaven and that new earth, to be with God at the end, does it mean that I have to swear vows of poverty? Does it mean that I have to live an ascetic lifestyle? Does that earn me heaven to be poor? The more money I have, the more unrighteous I am. And the less money I have, the more holy I am. Is that the logic? I would have to say no. And that's not what he's saying. I think we have to be careful about Jesus' teaching here. Right? Riches doesn't earn you hell as much as being poor earns you heaven. That's not the wave. But what Jesus is pointing out in this moment with the rich young ruler, and I think what we have to wake up to, is that he's bringing to this young man's attention, to all of our attention, that we, each one of us, we're at, every day we're at the precipice of danger. every day. And we don't think about it, but Jesus is aware of it. And that's what he's alerting us to. There's a specific danger that we could fall to. In fact, I think we have fallen to. That Jesus himself, God himself, came to the world to address. And it's this. Jesus is showing that young man that each one of us has a choice to make. The journey of life bifurcates. You have to choose. You're either going to follow God and say God is God, or you're going to choose to say, no, I'm God, and I'm going to follow my own whims and my own desires. I will have the final word on how my life is lived. That's the choice that we all have to make. It comes down to a simple binary. It's telling that last week when we were exploring the Christian doctrine of hell, when we saw the parable that Jesus uses to teach on that subject, who do we see the two characters? There was Lazarus, the poor man who was sick, and there was the nameless rich man. And it's not an accident that Jesus would use the rich man for that moment. Because what Jesus is showing us is saying, each one of us have a choice to make. Are you going to follow God? Are you going to follow me, Jesus is saying? Are you going to follow yourself? And there's nothing in this world. The reason Jesus uses the rich man in that parable, why Jesus says, Matthew chapter 6, he says, you cannot have two masters. Either you love one master and hate the other, or you'll be faithful to one and despise the other. And then he says, no one can serve both God and money. If money is not the thing that actually sends you to hell, I said that, the Bible says that, why is Jesus repeatedly using these, using money as an example of danger? Because we each have a choice to make. We're going to follow God or follow ourselves. And the quickest lubricant in our lives that can force us to follow ourselves is money. Money will easily, if you attach yourself to it, can make life so much about yourself. If you have a lot of money, you can just eat as much as you want. If you have enough money, have as much sex as you want. You know, have enough money, have as much pleasure as you want. Have enough money, travel as much as you want. You can cultivate a life that completely ignores the ultimate reality that there's a God that we must respond to in faith and trust. That's complicated, right? That's why Jesus talks about money, because it so easily traps us. Look at the young rich young ruler. He says, I follow the law. He was actually a righteous guy. But when he came to Jesus and said, okay, I've done everything, what is the last thing I should do to earn eternal life? What's that thing I could do? And Jesus looks at him and says, your money is your problem. Get rid of that. It says he was sad and he walked away. He just couldn't. He was caught in the trap. And the question is really, are we caught? Are we caught? Well, there's a way to find out, I think. There really is a way to find out. You have to ask yourselves, well, what do I actually think about money? How do I handle it? What do I believe about it? Do I even talk about it? Is this a conversation that I have with my partner, my spouse, my friends, my pastor, my priest? What do I actually think about this? I'm going to tell you right now, for many of us, I'm putting myself in this. I'm not excluding myself from this conversation. I'm in it with you. We don't like this conversation. We get weird. I'm going to promise you right now, and I've had enough conversations about this, that you can have a conversation with someone about hell. You can have a conversation with someone about the most intimate details of their life with their partner, about their bedroom life, but you will never have a conversation with someone about, like, how much do you make? How much investments do you have? How do you spend your money? That's the ultimate taboo. That's the line we won't cross. Notice that that is the culture of the world outside, right? Think about the world that we live in, the values that we have. Aren't we talking about this recently? What does the world say? It's a simple binary almost. The world says, be careful with your money, right? Be very careful with it. Be promiscuous with your body. right? Express yourself. Find whatever sexuality you want. Identify however you want. Live however you want with your body. No one should care about that. Be free, but careful with your money. But what does God say? What does his scripture say? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, be careful with your body. Be promiscuous with your money. In other words, be generous with your money. Give radically with your money. Be loose with it. Be free with it. And yet more often we inhabit and we're formed by the world out there and not formed by the words of Jesus. And that's the trap. I've been having this ongoing conversation with one of my oldest friends from high school, from grade 9. And, you know, we both have our journeys of faith, you know, ups and downs in the journey following Jesus. And one of the things that he's been wrestling with is tithing. He's re-exploring, reconnecting with his Christian faith, but he finds it he's very suspicious of the notion that Christians should even give to a church. And he'll point out, well, yeah, maybe the Old Testament talks about a kind of a 10% as a number that you should use for giving, but the New Testament, I mean, he's reading the Bible, God bless him, saying that, well, the New Testament doesn't mention any rule of 10%. So why do pastors, including you, Seth, why do you promote that number? Fair question. But before I guess I have to answer that question, I'll say that maybe you've wondered that too. Maybe you wondered about your own giving, what it means to give to God, to give to the church, to give to the ministry. And I want to just highlight something to you that I think that it's our reaction to the reality of giving that's going to be the litmus test of how you feel about money. It's in how you spend it that's going to reveal your heart, how you think about money. Who is your ultimate master? Is that actually God or is it the material world? And I'll tell you why this is dangerous, because when you think about it, not to do too much philosophy this morning, but you think about it, money is not a real thing. Money isn't real. Right? It's an illusion. It's kind of an ancient gentleman's agreement that the human race has made, that we make up usually things. Now it's just like ideas, concept, money. And out of this illusion that is money, we create a further illusion that we're in control of our lives. That's what money furnishes you, a sense of control. Enough pleasure, enough fun, you don't think there's a God or you're going to die and you have to account for your life. Jesus Christ is trying to save you from that double illusion, get us out of that, but maybe we're trying to hold on to that illusion because it brings us comfort, a false sense of comfort, but it's comfort. And so when you're invited to say, to live into the life that Jesus offers, which means radical generosity and giving, I'll tell you what I told my friend. You're right. The New Testament doesn't say 10% is a number. But given that the model of generosity that God shows us in the New Testament is offering his only son, his life for ours to be saved, it seems that the generosity God is talking about is a very high and radical generosity, which in our church, we use 10% as a minimum figure. If Jesus is our Lord and Jesus sets the bar for generosity and giving. So really, we have to reevaluate ourselves. What do I think about money? How do I handle it? And I'll give you a little story. If you've been coming here long enough, you've probably heard it. I'm going to say it again. It fits today. I'll give you the story for you to take away and prayerfully reflect on your life. And here's a story. It's cute. There's a farmer couple. And a farmer has a cow. And the cow is expecting, the cow gives birth, and it's a wonderful surprise because the cow gives birth to twins. The couple were expecting one calf, and then they have two. And it's great joy because, of course, they live off the land, the animals, and so the farmer is excited, the farmer's wife is excited, and the farmer says, oh, praise God, praise Jesus, we have twins, two cows. You know what, love, what we're going to do is we're going to keep one of the calves and we're going to give the other calf. We're going to give it to God as a Thanksgiving offering. We're going to bring it to the church because we're so grateful that God has blessed us so much. And the wife says, hooray! And they're very excited. And just a little later, unfortunately, one of the calves dies. So the farmer is very crestfallen, very sad. And he comes to his wife and he says, oh, sweetheart, the Lord's calf died. Oh, it's such, what a shame. But you know, it happens. And the wife's sitting there thinking, I don't remember designating one calf specifically as God's calf. But the farmer says, no, we said that was God's calf. and it's died, and that's very sad, and what a pity. The end. That's the story. That's it. You get it, right? It's, you know, often in life, you know, it's mountains and valleys. Sometimes you're doing really well, sometimes you're not. What's going to reveal how you feel about God and who's your Lord is what you do in those pockets when you think you're in a hard moment, or maybe you are. In your life, is it always the Lord's calf that dies? Right? No, we can't cancel that vacation plan, but we can stop our charitable giving to the church and other organizations. Right? Maybe, just maybe, if Jesus Christ is actually Lord of your life, maybe it's our calf that needs to die. Right? Maybe we have to be released from the illusion that money somehow is buying us that ultimate comfort and control and safety that we think it provides. And here's the last illusion. I'll say it now. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have our teaching on actual giving, but here's the hard pill. If you're a Christian, there is no such thing as your money. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you acknowledge that there's Creator God, Jesus Christ is His Son, and you follow Jesus, there is no such thing as my money, your money. There's only God's money that God generously shares with us during this time in our life. Do you know why I know that? Because when you and I were born, we didn't bring anything into this world. And when we die, we're not taking anything out. Everything is from God and is shared to us generously. And therefore, at best, we are stewards. We're holding, and we must hold responsibly what God gives us. And then Jesus said, and be generous. Careful with your body, generous with your money. That's the life that we're called to live. The question is, are we living that? What's preventing us from living into that? I'll tell you, often it's fear and a lack of trust. We are genuinely afraid for the future, and we struggle to trust that God loves us, that He has good things planned for us, and that the future is in God's hands, and therefore we could have hope that it's going to be okay. We fail to trust that, and therefore we hold on. We live a life of a lack of generosity, a life guided by fear. But it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, in the story of the rich young ruler and Jesus, in a different gospel, it shows up in all the gospels. In a different gospel, it says that when the rich young ruler asked Jesus this question, it says that Jesus saw into his heart and he loved him. Jesus sees into your heart, into mine, all the parts of our lives that we would never want anyone else to see, that we're deeply ashamed of, that we're scared that anyone would find out. God, Jesus already has seen that. He has seen that, and he loved you so much that he went to the cross and he gave his life, that your life would be saved, that you would be purchased, and that you would be his own, that you would be part of his family forever. Jesus has already done that. St. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says that God, having all the riches of heaven, all the glory, he came down and became as one of us, as a slave, and he submitted himself even to death on the cross for you and for me. So take this in, so that when Jesus is saying to you and to me, live a life of radical generosity and give, don't be ruled by the illusions of money and control, but trust me. And there we are nervously holding our money, our bills. Know that Jesus Christ is asking you to do something that he's already done in extreme. God, Jesus isn't asking you to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. If God gave his own son, if Jesus willingly, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy set before him, he went to the cross willfully. He says, no one takes my life. I give it of my own accord. If Jesus chose to give his life for you to be saved, he gave everything. Then you can trust him that when you're giving up the hold that money has on your life, that you're taking a step into living the life that God has always wanted you to have, a life free from the control of fear, a life receiving his love and the peace that only God can give. It's a life God has always wanted for you. And you know, we all know that's exactly what we need. You know this is true. Haven't you ever given a gift to someone? It's cute, but it's true. Isn't it always better to give than to receive? What if instead of that being a moment on a birthday or a Christmas, what if that defined your life? That's the choice we're supposed to make every day of our lives. Are we choosing God or are we choosing Himself? My friends, my prayer for you this morning, we're about to come to the Lord's table. Every Sunday we come to the Lord's table, and it's a time that we don't just participate in an empty ritual. We're coming to God to receive His life, His love, His grace. We bring our lives to Him in honesty. We're about to pray together. And I'm going to invite you to hold your life in your hands and bring it to God and say, God, is my life fundamentally ruled by money? Is my life ultimately really ruled by the fear of tomorrow? Is my life ruled by my desire for control? I don't want to give this up to you. God, make my life new. Help me to trust you and only you. Help me to give. And if you come to Jesus Christ in good faith and you bring your life to Him, He will make you new. That's His promise. So come to Him. Trust Him. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank You that even when we struggle to trust You, every day, You're always there. You're never turning away from us. You're never giving up on us. You're always inviting us to come to You in repentance and faith to trust You because You love us. God, I pray for all of us in this room. Lord, I pray that You would help us, empower us that You would free us from the grip that this world has on us, that money, the desire for money, the desire for control has on us, God. I pray that You would release us, that we would live into the freedom that You offer us, and that we would trust You and only You, and that help us, that our lives would be transformed, that we would be fountains of love and generosity for the world around us, God. Do this good work in us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.